This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.I. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count on the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Isaiah chapter 5, beginning at verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we bow to the authority of thy precious word today, for we know that thou art a God who hates sin and a God who is going to punish sin, and that the wrath, thy wrath, the wrath of God is one of thy perfect attributes. And we praise thee and thank thee for it. O Lord, we lift up our hearts to thee in prayer and supplication for this radio audience, that thou wilt work in each and every heart, and by thy Spirit bringing souls to a deliverance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Working effectually in each and every heart is our prayer in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Thank you.
We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. We praise God for every opening He's given us to deliver His precious Word and to speak of our sovereign God and of His grace towards sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you write for your free book that we're offering this month entitled The ABCs of the Prophetical Scriptures? It's a little book that you'll want to have to pursue there in the quietness of your own home, 64 pages. It is the ABCs of the prophetical scriptures, 12 chapters. I wholeheartedly recommend it to you. The location, interpretation, relationship of scriptural passages dealing with the future by George H. Clement. It's yours free and postpaid if you will write us. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And when you write us, tell us that you're standing with us in prayer, will you? We'll be happy to send you this little book, free and postpaid. Ask for it by name, The ABCs of the Prophetical Scripture. And now for God's message. I've been led by the Holy Spirit to again speak to our hearts today upon that subject of the holy perfection of our living God, which is called His wrath, under the general theme, what the Scriptures teach about the wrath of God. Dear friend, that this is one of His divine perfections is the clear teaching of the Holy Scriptures. That God must and will punish sin, and the sinner is written on the pages of Holy Writ from Genesis to Revelation. And I also find, as I read the Word of God, that the Scriptures make no attempt to conceal the fact of God's wrath, and that vengeance and fury against sin belong unto the Lord. I want you to hear God's Word today, and trust and pray that it will sink down deep into our hearts, until we are made to know by the working of God the Holy Spirit in conviction, that the God of the Bible is a holy God, and therefore hates sin, and must put it away from Him. For He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not freely deliver us from all things through Him? And also, if we do not know Him, He shall not spare the sinner who dies outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. I spoke to you last week on the wrath of God, showing from the Holy Scriptures that God is angry with the wicked every day, and that if He turn not in repentance and lay down His arms of rebellion, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth as a hiding place from the storm of His wrath, then surely God will whet His sword and punish sin and the sinner in hell. Today I would like to set before our hearts the solemn but undeniable truth of the destiny of the wicked. The destiny of every soul that dies outside of the refuge that God has provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that this is not a favorable subject to the natural man. I know that man by nature does not relish and does not desire to hear of the destiny of the wicked or of the wrath of God. My dear friend, it is God's holy word. And as his ambassador, I must set it forth, that I may be true to your soul and to our God and unto our own souls. Are we going to have to meet you at the great white throne judgment someday? We're going to have to give an account of how we handled the Word of God. Therefore, we much speak upon this solemn but undeniable truth of the destiny of the wicked. Will you listen? The certainty of the judgment of the wicked is found in Hebrews 9:27 in these words, "It is appointed to men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Here we find that death and judgment are clearly distinguished from each other. The one follows the other. So the judgment of the wicked is not death itself or annihilation, as some teach, but it follows after death. Listen to our scripture again, Hebrews 9:27. "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this comes the judgment." You see, God's word declares that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all of sin. And then the wages of sin is not only physical death, but spiritual death or separation from God in hell. Then after death follows the judgment of God upon the sinner who dies outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? For only upon him, upon the Lord Jesus, has God's judgment and wrath fallen. So if we be in him, we are safe. But if we be found outside of Christ when we die, then we abide under the wrath of a holy and a just God. The fact of a future punishment for sinners is set forth clearly in numerous passages. In Ecclesiastes 11:9 we read, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know this, that for all of these things God will bring thee into judgment." We are told here that a young man may walk in his own will. He may walk in the pathway of pleasures, the pleasures of sin. But dear friend, they're only for a time, for he must one day give an account to God of all of his deeds, and he shall be brought into judgment for his sins. Again, Ecclesiastes 12:14 reads, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it'll be evil." As we go into the New Testament, the record is the same. Acts 17:31 reads that God hath appointed the day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. And who did he raise from the dead? The Lord Jesus Christ. And what did he do? He hath committed all judgment into his hands, according to Romans 5:22, John 5:22, and according to 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether they be good or whether they be bad or whether they be evil. All must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. None of us escape. All of us come there. The believers come there not to be decide whether or not they're going to heaven or hell, but to be shown they've been redeemed by the grace of God. They're to come and give an account of their walk since God saved them. No man shall be absent from the judgment seat of Christ. This judgment is itself, dear friend, is described in Revelation 20 in these words, "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, for whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's awful, isn't it? That's terrible, isn't it? To die in eternity for your sins. But my dear friend, this is God's word, not my word. We're to believe it. We disbelieve it to the peril of our never dying soul. For this judgment shall all men come to, whether you desire it or not. You might desire the mountains to fall upon you. You might try to hide from the face of him who sits upon the throne. But my dear friend, you cannot do it. For every man shall be called to this judgment. Oh, that we would understand it today and be warned. That every one of you outside of Christ, may you be warned. Let me warn you in love. That God's word is to be believed, not to be disbelieved. It is to be believed and not debated. It is not to be argued. We are to believe it. And oh, we believe it to the salvation of our souls as we rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we disbelieve it to the damnation of our never dying soul. Oh, that you would flee. Flee to Christ, dear friend. Flee to God's hiding place for sinners and flee from the wrath to come. For there is coming a day when God is going to judge you and punish you for your sins, your evil ways in hell. You can call me old-fashioned if you want to. Call me an alarmist if you want to. Say that I preach fire and brimstone. I don't care what you say. Call me what you please, but you will have to remember. The soul that sinneth shall die, and every evil work shall be brought into judgment. You cannot get away from it by saying that it does not exist. God's word is true, and let every man be a liar. Dear friend, the certainty of this judgment, this coming judgment, is described in these words in 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So God is reserving the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And our Lord Jesus himself asked the question in Matthew 23:33, how can you escape the damnation of hell? The answer is, there can be none unless there is a spirit of repentance toward God, a coming to him confessing the pride of your heart, the hoisting of the white flag of surrender and repentance, laying down the arms of your rebellion and crying, Jesus, the Lord and King of your life, your only deliverer. For, dear friend, only in the Lord Jesus Christ, based upon his death in your place, can there be an escape from the damnation of hell. Are you listening? Another unchanging truth stands out upon the pages of the Holy Word of God, and it is this, that there is not a single instance in either the Old or the New Testament of a sinner being saved after death. The Bible clearly tells us that death seals the fate of every individual. The Bible does not hold out any hope for those who die outside of Christ of ever being saved. My friend, where sin brings you, and where death finds you, there eternity will hold you forever and ever. If death finds you outside of Christ, eternity will hold you in that state forever and ever. Listen to God's word. Revelation 22:11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. So the holy and the righteous ones in heaven will be holy and righteous forever. The unjust and the filthy shall be unjust and filthy forever. Where death finds you, eternity will hold you forever and ever. Listen again to Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Dear friend, there could be nothing plainer than that at death. Doom, your doom is sealed. Listen to God's word again. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You know, annihilation would be a comforting thought if it was true, wouldn't it? Purgatory would be a comforting thought if it was true, wouldn't it? It would be a comforting thought that there's a second death, second chance after hell, if it was true, wouldn't it? But my friend, this is the solemn truth. This is no laughing matter. The Word of God says that he being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. For there's no second chance after death. No repentance after death. No confession after death. No hope after death for the unsaved. Oh, what a solemn warning God gives us here. And then our Lord Jesus Christ said to his enemies in John 8:21, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. Solemn warning, is it not? Once they died in their sins, it was impossible for them to go to heaven. Therefore, they must face the inescapable consequences of the second death in hell, which is separation from God. Not only does the Scripture declare that the judgment of God is sure and death seals the sinner's fate, but it is also clear as to what awaits the sinner at death. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself gives this clear and unmistakable picture of what awaits the sinner at death in Luke chapter 16. He draws aside the veil which hides us from what lies beyond death. And there he tells us of a rich man who died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He tells us that the rich man did not go to hell because he was rich, but because he lived and died without God. He lived and died apart from the life of God as it was revealed unto us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if, dear friend, you and I would follow this rich man, we would note that he had not ceased to exist, as many teach today, but had found out what the wisest man on earth who is out of Christ has never learned, and that is that death does not end it all, and be sure your sin will find you out. We find here that the rich man was far from ceasing to exist, for our Lord said, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Listen, here we have a conscious being, a conscious person in a definite place. He was there suffering, for he was in torment. And so great was his anguish that he begged that one might dip the tip of his finger in water and come and cool his tongue. He was conscious because the record is clear that he could feel, he could see, he could think, he could hear, and he could remember his five brethren who were still on earth. And he did not want them to come to this place of judgment with him. He was told to remember how he had lived amidst good things, but he did not use these means to seek Christ and put him first. And my dear friend, in the light of all of this, I ask, what are you doing with the time God has given you to repent and to look to Christ by faith? What are you doing with the means, the Word of God, and with prayer, and with the preached Word, that you might hear the Word of God, and that you might repent and turn to God before it is everlastingly too late, and hide your soul in the shed blood and wounds of the Lord Jesus Christ? My dear friend, what are you doing with the time and the means that God's given you? Remember, this is what happens to a soul in eternity. They will be cut off from all pleasures, the fulfilling of any desires, and when they reach out in eternity to love someone, and to lay hold of something, and to take pleasure in something or someone, they find only the living God whom they have no heart to love or appreciate. Oh, this burns in my soul today. What is going to happen to the lost in eternity? While on earth you had your wives or your husbands or your children or your friends to love, but my dear friend, in hell, you'll find no one but God to love, and since you did not take time while on earth to seek him and to love him in Christ. So now there will be none to love but him, and therefore, since you do not love him, you hate him, and you will gnash on him with your lips and your teeth and your pain. Gnash at him in your pain as you behold his holiness, in which you see no beauty, but only see your sins. What an awful condition to be in. Remember. Yes, remember. There will be plenty of time to remember all the lost opportunities you had to seek the Lord. All the lost opportunities to read his word and find out his will. All the lost opportunities to love him. You didn't take time, did you? You had time for everything else, but not time to seek the Lord while he may be found. And my dear friend, please do not call our blessed Lord a liar. In giving us this story by opening the veil and letting us look into life after death. For the wicked, those that die outside of Christ, my dear friend, my God cannot lie. Our Lord cannot lie. And what he told us here is truth. You and I would be guilty of blasphemy if we said our Lord meant something else by these words. We would charge the Son of God with using language to deceive if he did not mean what he said. He surely would mislead countless numbers of those who would read the record of his words. But God is truth, let every man be a liar. Our Lord did not lie, for he told us the truth of what's coming. I, for one, thank him for leaving us this message of warning. And instead of turning away from it in unbelief and prejudice, you and I should want to hear its message and flee to Christ from the wrath to come. We should cry out like the jailer, "What must I do to be saved?" And like the publican in the temple, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." So I call upon you today, flee to God's refuge that he's provided, a hiding place from the storm of his wrath. It's coming. My friend, only those who are found in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith will know what it means to escape the judgment and the wrath of God. If you want a copy of this message, you write this and we'd be happy to mail it to you free and postpaid. You've listened today, and I believe God has been in our midst so that he would take this word home to your heart. Our main address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. This has been Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking to you. We pray and that the blessings of our gracious Lord will rest upon you. And until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.